And I'm going to try to give this more of a kind of personal touch and talk a little bit about some of the things that have been shared with me by working with individuals that have been in the age group of 50 and above and living with HIV. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. And we've already talked a little bit about some of the epidemiology of this population, but I want to highlight a few more examples. When we look at figures from last year in New York City, over 120,000 people living with HIV. And of those, 40% of whom were over the age of 50, 74% over the age of 40. We see similar numbers when we look at some other locations, state of Florida. 36% of individuals living with HIV last year over the age of 50, 72% over the age of 40, and even higher numbers when we look in San Francisco last year, 45% over the age of 50, 82% over the age of 40. And we know these numbers are only going to continue to increase. People are living longer as a result of the advancements we've made with HIV treatment. We have more and more individuals that are reaching this age cohort. So that brings us once again to the prediction that we heard mentioned earlier, CDC predicting that by 2015, not very far from now, 50% of individuals, of all people living with HIV in the United States, will be over the age of 50. So obviously this is a population that's going to deserve our attention, and it's going to require some particular strategies to address some particular challenges. Some of the work that I've done with the health department included working with a high-risk population of individuals living with HIV, people at risk for disease progression, disease transmission. A lot of them, I'm happy to say, I've seen age into their 50s. And I'm also happy to say that you'll be able to hear from three of those individuals in a short video that I have from some interviews that were done. You'll hear a little bit about some of the challenges they face as they age with HIV, but you'll also hear how they are volunteering their time, their wisdom, their energy to be resources for the community. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today, are some of the challenges that are faced by this population, and then also some of the sources of wisdom and potential resources. And we'll go over a few of the different interventions that are being utilized around the country right now as well. So a lot of different individuals have expressed to me a lot of different comorbidities, a lot of different challenges that they've faced as they've aged with HIV. And these are very similar to some other study findings. I'm just going to highlight a few of these in particular. This one was a study done by ACREA. It involved a self-administered survey for over 900 individuals in New York City over the age of 50 living with HIV. We could talk a lot about various comorbidities. Some of them have already been mentioned. A lot of individuals have talked to me about being depressed. From the ACREA study, you see here about 52% of individuals self-reported depression. Excuse me. A lot of them will also just talk about general kind of aches and pains, and that could be related to the arthritis, could be related to neuropathy. We see over 30% of individuals reporting arthritis and or neuropathy. Hypertension is also very common. The ACREA study here found almost 27% of individuals reporting hypertension. Other studies have reported much higher numbers. There was a study out of France, NeuroSigma, which found a percentage of this population of 49% of individuals over the age of 50 living with HIV and also having hypertension. They also mentioned some pretty high numbers with diabetes as well. Something that I'm not going to go into much detail on, but something else that has been real common have been issues of cognitive impairment. There was the study done called CHARTER for individuals, again, age 15 above living with HIV, which found that nearly 50% of those individuals were experiencing some form of cognitive impairment. And when we look at depression in a little more detail, the ACREA study also had individuals complete the CESD scale, and the scores from that scale indicated that 43% of the population would have been considered to have severe depression, 20% with moderate depression, And you'll see those numbers are even higher than the self-reported 52% of individuals experiencing depression. Another common occurrence is isolation. In the ACREA study, 70% of individuals over the age of 50 living with HIV reported living alone, much higher than the 39% of all elderly in New York City reported living alone. Now, also, we don't want to ignore issues around stigma and disclosure. And we have seen an association between reluctance to disclose HIV status and stigma. And you'll see a little over 90% of individuals disclose their HIV status to healthcare providers. And that seems like a pretty high number, but I'd still be concerned about 10% of individuals who don't feel comfortable, you know, talking with their doctor about their HIV status. Only 68% had disclosed their HIV status to sexual partners, and only about 65% to family and friends. Now, something else that's also been mentioned and that has come up with a few of my former clients was this issue of survivor guilt. And the question comes up, why me? And it wasn't in terms of why me, why am I having to deal with HIV infection? It was more in terms of why have I survived when so many of my peers have not? And you'll see from the video that I'll show in just a few minutes that a lot of individuals have answered that question for themselves by saying that the reason why is because I have a purpose. I have something to offer. And you'll find that there are some studies that have had some similar findings, one of which was here by Charles Inlet that was published in 2008. This was an interview with 25 adults age 50 and older living with HIV. They found that those individuals that did disclose their HIV status to broader society did so for primarily two reasons. The idea of generativity, where there was this desire, this need to guide the next generation. And then the other reason was for the purpose of educating others. And primarily they were talking about educating younger populations. So just keep in mind that individuals who express this desire to give back can be a valuable resource for the community, whether that means inviting them to be a part of the Ryan White Advisory Group, being a part of a community planning group, being peer educators, just sharing their stories. And I think that's one way of working with wisdom. And you'll see that in this video, hopefully, in just a few minutes. But before we do that, there's other ways of working with wisdom, and that does include several different interventions that are going on around the country. And I'll mention just a few of these. As already mentioned, there is ACREA's Community Promise Program in New York City. There also is a program out of Hartford, the Latino Family Services. Out of Detroit, the Adults Wellbeing Services. We have Project Roadmap in Miami. And out of Ohio, we have Brothers to Brothers and Sisters to Sisters. Now, as mentioned already, the ACREA program is adapted from the CDC's DEBI called PROMISE, which is Peers Reaching Out and Modeling Intervention Strategies. And more information about different DEBIs and about this one in particular, PROMISE, can be found on CDC's website. But you can also go to ACREA's website, and they can show a little bit of how they've adapted that particular DEBI for use with an older population. They do have DVDs available. They do have a discussion manual available. For the one out of Hartford, this was Latino Family Services. This was specifically looking at older Latino men with substance abuse and mental health issues. This was a five-session curriculum called Healthy Men, Healthy Lives. And one of the sessions is dedicated entirely to HIV. And they make use of at least one of those DVDs from the ACREA adaptation of the DEBI Community Promise. Out of Detroit, the Adults Wellbeing Services. This is targeting older African-American HIV-positive men and women, again, with substance use and mental health issues. And Project Roadmap out of Miami. This is re-educating older adults and maintaining AIDS prevention. And this is designed to reduce high-risk sexual behaviors among older persons with HIV. And this intervention is conducted primarily in primary health care clinics. And then finally, out of Wright State University in Ohio, there is a program called Brothers to Brothers and Sisters to Sisters. And again, this is an adaptation of Community Promise, targeting older African-American men and women. And that is all I have, but I do have this video that I want to share with you just because I think it's worthwhile to hear directly from individuals that have been living these experiences. I wish I could have brought everyone up here that I've worked with to, you know, tell their own stories. But I just have a couple of minutes, and it just kind of highlights a little bit about some of those challenges that we've mentioned that they faced as they aged with HIV, and then also talked a little bit about that that desire to give back to the community. But beforehand, if you do have some other questions or if you want some more information about those interventions, you can always contact me. You can contact ACREA, and then we'll have time for some questions at the very end of all this. In the meantime, I hope this works.
Emotionally, it's been kind of a hassle because not only does the HIV affect me as far as my physical aspect, but it bothers me because I'm not really in a relationship and I'm kind of scared to involve myself with anyone because of the reaction. But other than that, my family knows. It's hit me as far as my depressions and things like that, but I handle it because I have faith in God. Like myself, I went to AIDS Alliance classes and I did the support and I become an advocate. I have a certificate and everything, just so that I can go out and teach other people about this disease so they won't be afraid of it. I've learned that I can just about handle anything that comes my way. I'm more interested now in allowing other people to know that they can live with this disease. My main focus is to just let people know and to show myself and allow them to know that this disease can be, you can live with it. It doesn't have to live with you. Reach out. Give your information. Show your support. These are what the elder groups are supposed to do. Whether you're with the disease or not, you should reach out and try and give assistance. Tell your story so that the other groups, the younger groups, even the older groups, some older people are not aware of what's going on with this disease. Whatever education you have, give it to us. Let us know that you're there for us, that you have a hand in this thing. Take our hand, let us know that you are there, whatever we need.
I'm getting tired more frequently, and my everything that could ache, aches now. You know, all the opportunity that's available for this infection to attack is attacking it, and I'm feeling it. I know that I'm not the walker I used to be. My wind is shorter than it used to be. And again, I got to tell you, my brain seems to be functioning somewhat slower. I came from an environment of substance abuse, so naturally I felt like I should give back upon a couple of years being, really didn't know anything. But I began reaching out then. And I'm finding and found then that there are more people than you can imagine that are still masked with this disease and, refuse to admit, that they are harboring this within their bodies. As long as I hid behind the mask, that I'm all right, we do this. We don't want everybody to know that we're sick. But when I came out behind that mask, I began healing. And this I know today.
I know I'm dealing with depression. And the pain, I'm not used to it. Body aches a lot. And some days, like I said, my blood don't flow in my arms and they feel like they be tight. I can't feel them. When I get out of the bed some days and my legs give me trouble, the aches and pains is what I'm dealing with mostly in my life. I like going, but some days it shuts me down. I've been clean for 11 years. And I go on performances and tell my story. You know, I tell them about my drug problems, and I tell them about I'm HIV positive. I'm not ashamed of it, you know. And if I could help someone else, I would love to help someone else. I feel like I am a miracle because I could have been dead, but I'm still here, and I need to speak about it. You know, I'm saying that I can live with it, but I ain't got to die.